today is found in the first book of Kings, chapter 18, where we left off last Lord's Day speaking unto you about Obadiah, how that Elijah was trying to convince Obadiah that he would surely reveal himself unto Ahab. But Obadiah feared that when he went to look for Ahab, why then the Spirit of God would carry away Elijah, and then Elijah's life would be in danger. For Ahab had made a vow and also caused other nations to vow that if they found Elijah, they should report it unto Ahab. And now if Obadiah had met him and talked with him and had left him and not brought him unto Ahab, then Ahab probably would take his life. He was afraid that this would take place. But Elijah convinced Obadiah by swearing before the Lord that he would surely show himself unto Ahab. Obadiah, he went to look for Ahab, and he told him that he had found Elijah, and that in this place he would meet him. So we find in the 17th verse that when Ahab saw Elijah, he spake unto him and said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? This ungodly king, this idolatrous king, he accuses this good prophet of troubling Israel. Why did he say this? Well, he knew that Elijah had said unto him that there would be no dew and no rain upon the earth according to his word. And now he thought that Elijah had control over the rain, and it was him that was causing this trouble in Israel by not permitting it to rain. And therefore, he called Elijah a troubler of Israel. Those that warn and admonish and obey the commandments of God are not troublers in the land, but they that despise the commandments of God and transgress them, they are the ones that trouble a land, that trouble the nation, that bring even ruin and destruction upon nations and countries. And now Elijah answers him and says, I am not he that troubleth Israel, but ye and your father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord and have followed Balaam. Elijah wasn't afraid of Ahab. He told him that he was the Achan, that he was the cause, that it was his sins and his iniquities which had caused this judgment to come down upon them. By him sinning against God and doing as he and his wife were doing, following Balaam. This man Elijah was bold, he was fearless. God had given him to be so at this present moment, and therefore he spake so unto this king. And now he commands Ahab that he should gather all Israel together, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, that ate at Jezebel's table, unto Mount Carmel. This king, Ahab, he probably thought that Elijah was going to pray now, and he was going to cause it to rain, and the land was going to be blessed. But Elijah had other things to do. God had commanded him to do things. And therefore, he spake with authority unto this king, commanding him to gather all Israel to Carmel. Not Carmel in Judah, but Carmel in the northern part of Palestine, a mountain where formerly God had been worshipped and altars had been built for the worship of God. And now Elijah spake to Ahab to send word out throughout all Israel that they should come to Mount Carmel, and that he would meet the people there. Likewise, all the prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the grove. We see in this how strong then the worship of Baal was in the land of Israel, and how many prophets there were that were teaching the people and misleading them in instructing them in the worship of this idol Baal. This idol Baal, the name was the name of the true God at one time, when those that adhered to the true religion, they called God Baal. But when they degenerated from the true religion, then we find that this name, they fixed other names to it. And therefore, they that worship idols, they call them by the name of Baal Berith, Baal Sebo, and so forth. These people that formerly dwelt in the land of Canaan before God gave it unto Israel, they worshiped these idols. They served these idols. And now they were mingled with the Israelites, and the Israelites were following these people in their sins and in their idolatry. They had departed from God, and these Baal's prophets were teaching these people. God had commanded the Israelites, when they would enter into the land of Canaan, that they were not to make any covenant with these people, but that they were to tear down their altars, and they were to burn their groves, and they were not to worship their idols. God commanded this by the mouth of Moses. These groves, they were places where they planted trees, and those that seemingly worshiped God, they would conceal themselves amidst these trees, these groves, and they would practice abominable idolatries, which God hated. And these people had been accustomed to build these groves, these idolaters. But Israel was forbidden to build a grove. Thou shalt not build a grove or plant any trees near to the altar where thou shalt worship me. For thou shalt worship me, the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God. God did not want any secrecy in this worship that he commanded Israel of old. And those that would worship these idols, we find him commanding that they should be put to death. If there be any among you, he says, that worship the sun, the moon, the host of heaven, and there are witnesses to prove it that they do this, then you take them outside of the city and take them to the gate of the city and stone them unto death. And the witnesses shall be the first ones to lay their hands upon them. They were not to be stoned to death unless there were witnesses. This is what God commanded the Israelites. They were not to worship idols, nor bow before them, nor serve them. And here they were doing these things, and God was angry with them. God likewise had become angry with Solomon. As you know, we had a lesson of him when he became old. Then his wives caused him likewise to forsake God. And he likewise began to worship idols, and he even built them for his strange wives, that they likewise could worship these idols. He saw no harm in it at first. But, oh, God became angry with Solomon, and God likewise visited for his sins in the next generation. And so God was angry with Israel now. He had laid his hand heavily upon them for this. They had been under his judgment for 3.5 years. They hadn't had any rain. And now God was so good and so kind that he sent unto them a prophet, Elijah. He was going to bring his people back to himself. It was not yet time for God to give Israel up unto himself and utterly destroy them. No. But he had thoughts of mercy, thoughts of love towards these people. And therefore, he sent Elijah. Elijah, he commands all Israel to come to Carmel with all these prophets, 450 Baal's prophets, and 400 that likewise taught in groves and sat and ate at Jezebel's table. From the history that we have, it does not appear that these 400 Baal's prophets that served in the groves were present. Later on, then we read that these same prophets that were of the groves, they instructed Ahab to go up to fight, and it was the cause of his death that he listened to these false prophets. But here we find that they were not present. And now we find that this king, he sends out a command. The people had obeyed the king. He sent commands out throughout Israel, and Israel was gathered unto Carmel with the 450 Baal's prophets. And now when these people came, then Elijah, he approached them and speak unto them in the name of the Lord. And he said unto them, why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. Elijah spake unto these people. They were so far departed from God, they probably had so many thoughts running through their minds whether there was a God or not anymore. For they had no signs, they had no presence of him anymore, they had no tokens of his presence, and they thought there was no more prophets of God anymore in the land, and the land was completely carried away with idolatry. And Elijah was sent with this question to them, why halt ye between two opinions? Some of these people, they listened to the prophets that God had yet. They adhered to the true religion. And others, they had departed and they were serving Baal. Then there were some, they served both of them. They served God and they served Baal. For fear that Jezebel would actually have them slain if they did not. These people then, they were worshiping what they knew not. We read of the woman of Samaria that she said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, thou sayest we should worship at Jerusalem, but our fathers, they said that we should worship here. Well, he said to her, ye worship what ye know not. And so it was with these people at this present time. They were worshiping what they knew not. They knew not God, and they knew not this idol God either, Baal, who so many people were carried away with. This idol God, then, we cannot give any interpretation of what it was. Some of these nations, they worship the sun, they worship the moon, the host of heaven, under the name of Baal. There is much dispute among the commentaries what it actually was, this idol. But the people, they were worshiping what they knew not. And now when Elijah came to them with, why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, follow him. Oh, my hearers, it isn't any different in the times in which we live. There are many people they worship too, they know not what. There are many people that worship idols. They make idols of different things. We have multitudes of people that are worshiping a woman, namely the mother of Christ, Mary. She is paid more homage than Christ himself by the Catholics. They worship likewise crucifixes. They bow before them. They make them themselves on their breast. They likewise worship the wafer, a piece of bread that they use in the communion. They called us a god. They worshiped likewise the Pope. They bowed down before him when he goes by. They worship many of saints who never were in existence, and they worship these. And this is the religion of millions of people in this blessed country in which we live. Then there are many that worship the god free will. Oh, how many have bowed down before this god. Millions and millions of people in our times are being misled, are being instructed by others, and being led into the ditch. Oh, my hearers, when I consider the false teaching that there is in the times in which we live, and how that the people imbibe this and drink this down, oh, this idol god, free will, how many are subject to this and agree with it, and how many offer up much of their time, much of their purse, so that this may be sent throughout the world in print and likewise by missionaries. All this idol free will. All my hearers, may God keep you from being misled by this idol. There are so many idols, even amongst people that go to church, that actually worship the living God, that is outwardly. Oh, how many likewise even who worship the god of this world. They follow the fashions, the customs of the people at this time, and it's devilish. It's disgraceful to my eyes to see what's going on in this blessed land of ours, all because this style is in effect and people fall before it and follow suit. Oh, how many love the world. The world is their god. And the Bible teaches us, if we love the world, we cannot love God. The love of the Father is not in us. God and mammon we cannot serve. We cannot serve both of them. We must either love one and hate the other. Oh, how many even of church people are in this state. How many amongst you, my hearers, that are listening to me, should I come to you with the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. How many are on God's side? How many are on the Lord's side? How many have I listening to me? Is he your God? Do you know him as such? Has he ever revealed himself as such to you? Have you any love in your soul for this great, this glorious, and this divine being, who I love, and who I adore, and who I serve, and who I worship? Are there any such amongst my hearers? Who is your God, my hearers? Who do you serve? Who do you love? Who do you give everything over for? Search yourself. Examine yourself. Are you halting between two opinions? Is the Lord your God? Has he given you some sign, some token? Has he shown some favor to you, some love to you? Oh, my hearers, how few, I am afraid, that would raise their head and say, I am on the Lord's side. Oh, there weren't many amongst these people when he came to them with this question and questioned them this way. They answered him not a word. And I'm afraid I wouldn't get any answers either. Maybe you're guilty. This is the way these people felt. They were guilty too. They hadn't anything to say because they didn't know who was the true God. They didn't know who they were worshiping. They were so far away from God that they didn't even believe probably that there was a God. And now Elijah, and he spake unto them, and said unto them that they were the people of Israel, and that in this the God of Israel was still their God. He then complains and says that he only was a prophet of the Lord. And there were 450 Baal's prophets. He then came out for God because God had sent him. He was the only outstanding prophet at that present time. And now he likewise speaks that where there were 450 Baal's prophets, and he was the only prophet of the Lord, then he commanded that they should get two bullocks. Bullocks are young bulls. They use them in sacrificing unto God. And they were to bring these two bullocks to this place where they were. And they were to kill this animal, and they were to cut it in pieces, and they were to lay it upon the wood, but they were not to put any fire under it. And he would take the other bullock, and he would cut it in pieces and lay it upon the wood, and put no fire under it either. And he says to the people now, he says, the God that answers by fire, he will be the God. Very good, the people said. They consented to this test to prove who was God. And now Elijah, he spake to the Baal's prophets and said, ye are 450. You pick the bullock first, and you arrange your altar and lay it upon the wood, but put no fire under it, and call upon your God. And then I will take the bullock, and I will do so too, and call upon my God. So they consented to do it first of these Baal's prophets. I could just about imagine what was going on in the minds of the people and what would go on probably in our minds. 450 prophets against one. What, was just this one prophet right? Weren't there 450 there? What would you think? I think you would despise this one man too. You would fall on the side of the multitude. You would say, what, one man? He can't be right. 450 are more right than one. There were 450 against this one prophet. And now they did as Elijah commanded. They built an altar, they put wood on it, they laid this bullock in pieces upon the wood, and they began to call upon their God. They called, hear, O Baal, hear and answer us. They called from morning till noon. And there was no voice, there was no answer. Why, they could be still calling, my hearers, calling to such a God for an answer? How ridiculous, how foolish. How is it possible that 450 prophets could cry in this way to an idol and expect an answer? The devil could have given him an answer, but God withheld the devil from giving an answer there. For he was right there. But this was a decision between God and Baal. Who was the real God? And God would not let the devil show anything. For he deceived so many people, my hearers. And they cried from morning till noon. And finally they got no answer, and they began to leap upon the altar. Oh, with all their ado, with all their noise, and all their shouting, and all their crying, no answer. Oh, my hearers, how ridiculous this must have been for this prophet Elijah, for he stood there all this while. Oh, what must have been going on in his heart and in his mind? And finally, when it became noontime, we find that Elijah, he began to mock him. It was worth mockery, my hearers, because it was a mockery cry unto an idol for an answer. And this was worthy of being mocked too. But this man Elijah, he began to speak unto them and said unto them, cry aloud, for he's a God. Maybe, he says, he's talking somewhere. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. This is what Elijah says of their God. Not one of those prophets answered him. Not one of them said, our God ain't like that. They knew nothing about the true God in heaven above. They had no answer for Elijah, but they listened to him. And they became wilder and wilder in their actions and in all their trying to worship this idol and get an answer from him. They expected an answer at noontime when the sun was very hot. Then they thought maybe the wood would catch on fire. But no, nothing caught on fire. And they kept crying. Oh, I was thinking about this, and when I went to school when I was a boy, we used to have pictures of Indians. They used to be dancing around a fire. They used to do an Indian war dance, and I was thinking about these worshipers. They were leaping on the altar, trying to get an answer from what? From a dead god, from an idol. Oh, my hearers, what will not people do when they worship something that is no God? And now, Elijah mocking them and ridiculing them and making fools out of them, they became so exasperated that they didn't get an answer that they started to take knives and they started to cut themselves with knives and with lancets, it says. The blood started to gush out of these people. Did you ever read anything like that in the Bible, that you're to worship God this way? That he wants us to cut ourselves? That he wants us to do these things that these people were doing? No, my hearers, God forbids anything like this. This was not worship. This was a mockery. And this in the eyes of all the people. Maybe there were plenty of these Baal devotees that was looking on, and inwardly they were even praying that Baal would answer their prophets, that he would come down with fire. But no fire appeared, my hearers. They used knives to cut themselves. They inflicted wounds upon themselves, as if this God would see this and he would have pity on them and he would hear them and he would answer them. Oh, God doesn't want anybody to do something like this, my hearers. And now, when the evening sacrifice drew nigh, and they had been doing this from morning till evening, and no answer, not one word was spoken, and not one bit of fire came down, then Elijah, he called the people. He says, come near. He wanted all the people to come near. He wanted to prove to them that what he was going to do, there wasn't anything false in it. That there was no fire underneath the wood, there was nothing there. He built an altar, it says, in the name of the Lord. He built it of 12 stones, one stone for each tribe of Israel. He was proving to these people that at one time that they were one, and that God was their covenant God. And that now he built this altar. They were not divided at present in their worship, but they were separated civilly. There were 10 tribes that were under the supervision and government of Ahab, and there were 2 that were in Judah. And now this building this altar in the name of the Lord, and with 12 stones, this made an impression, you may be sure, upon some of the people. And then he took the wood and he laid the wood upon the altar. He repaired this altar. He didn't use the altar that these Baal's prophets were using. Oh no. He used an altar that had been used years ago in the true worship of God. And this had been destroyed. But now he built it up again. And he laid the wood on it. And he took the bullock and he cut it in pieces and laid it upon the wood. All the people seen him. They were all standing around him. And then he said, get 4 barrels of water. So they went and they got 4 barrels of water. You ever stop to think where they got that water from? You know there had been no water underground. There had been no rain for 3.5 years. They either got it out of the brook Kishon, or they got it out of the sea. All barrels of water. And he told them to take that water and to pour it upon the altar. And they went and they got 4 more barrels of water. And they poured this water upon the altar. 3 times this was done. So that everything was soaking wet. And he had built a trench around this altar, and the water went into the trench, and the altar was surrounded with water. Now this was proof enough for the people that a miracle of God had to happen if that would catch fire. And now, after proving this to the people, we find that Elijah, he drew near unto the altar. And we find him praying unto God. He addresses him as the Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel. That covenant God, who still was the God of this people, he addresses him in this way. And he prays to him that he would prove that he was the Lord God, and that he, Elijah, was his servant, and that he had done this according to his word. Elijah didn't do this all of himself. Elijah was instructed. It does not say in the Bible, we don't have any words about it, but he lets it out in his prayer that God had told him to do this. It wasn't just Elijah that he stood there in faith and was going to do this. No, he'd done this according to the word of God. And he brings this out to God in prayer. And according to thy word have I done these things. Hear me, O God, he says. And while he is praying, my hearers, fire comes down from heaven. This was a wonderful fire. A remarkable fire. The fire came down and it consumed the burnt sacrifice. It consumed the wood. It consumed not only the wood in the sacrifice, but it consumed the stones of the altar and the dust round about it. And it licked up all the water that was even in the trench. The altar and the sacrifice was all gone. Everything. There wasn't anything left. Never was there an offering made unto God that was so acceptable as this was. Why? Because God has commanded Elijah to do it this way. Oh, when God commands, he receives everything that he actually does in any person's heart, and likewise what he commands others to do even in this way. All this sacrifice was acceptable unto God, and fire came down, a remarkable fire, a supernatural fire, a fire that never had come down like this before. It is true God had answered by fire several times. He had come down in the tabernacle when they likewise dedicated, and fire had come down into this tabernacle. In the temple in Jerusalem when Solomon dedicated it, then fire came down upon the altar. But here, fire came down and consumed everything. Why? Because they would never make an idol of this altar. They would never be able to use it anymore. That was not the place that God was to be worshipped. Jerusalem was the place. There the temple was. There God had manifested his presence. And these people, they had departed from God. And they had been worshipping idols. And now when this fire came down and consumed everything there, then the people, they cried out, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" Oh, they were so convinced that this God in heaven above was the God that had brought down this fire. Oh, my hearers, the Lord had turned these people back to himself. They had a visible, an audible sign likewise here in seeing that God manifested himself in this fire. Everything was gone. All these people then, when they were so convinced, do not think that they were converted, my hearers. Maybe there were some that were touched, but none of them hardly were converted. This was not converting grace, but this was a proof that he was God in heaven about, and he had turned their hearts back to his worship. And now when this happened, then Elijah, he commanded that they should take hold of these prophets, these 450 Baal prophets. Don't let any one of them escape. And they took them down to the brook Kishon, and they slew every one of them. They killed every one of them. This was the commandment of God. You find this in Deuteronomy, that if anybody worshiped like this and did as they did, they should be slain. They were slain, 450 Baal's prophets. Oh, my hearers, thinking of this, if this had to take place today, I am afraid there wouldn't be many left. Many true servants of God. Oh, how many are like these Baal's prophets. And now this fire come down. Oh, my hearers, when God lets down his spirit, as he did upon the day of Pentecost, and then it came down like fire. There were flames of tongues hanging over the top of each and every one of the apostles. And when he lets down the Spirit into our hearts, it consumes everything of ourselves. Oh, God don't want anything of us, my hearers. But then he begins with a new heart. He puts a sacrifice inside of that heart that's acceptable unto himself. And oh, what a mercy if this takes place in our life. Oh, I pray that God may grant that every one of you, my hearers, may be given to have this fire, this heavenly fire, come down into your souls, and that your souls may be put on fire towards God, that you may love him, fear him, walk with him, and desire that when you come to die, you may be with him. The Lord bless our feeble instruction to your hearts, for my time is gone. That's all for today.